All right, welcome into the Chris Collinsworth podcast. So we're in the middle of June, which is usually that time of year where we're making crap up. But this is a little bit, this is a little bit of an interesting one. I gave you all of, I think, 27 seconds notice on this. We just spent the last 10 minutes. So my homework assignment to you was, if you had to take the head coach and the quarterback, we always talk in terms of head coach, quarterback, what's that combination? That's who's going to win, right? And I kind of believe that too. But I never really thought about it in terms of, all right, let's try to rank these guys as a combo. So I would just, as an example, Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest coach of all time. But you put him with Mac Jones, does that combination, where does that rank with some of the others? In the same way, you might go Russell Wilson, who now is with Denver, Nathaniel Hackett. Well, we haven't seen him as a head coach. We don't know. So how does that play into it? New team, the whole thing. So as you looked at it initially, what jumped out?
Yeah, so my initial thoughts were, one, I think I waited – just in, your mind goes to the quarterback first, and you just start going through quarterback rankings. Then you're like, oh, wait, no, like that guy's head coach is actually, you know, Mac Jones' head coach actually is the best head coach of all time. So, like, that deserves a little more deference, even if I don't think he's a top five, maybe even top 10 quarterback at this point. The biggest thing that stood out to me, though, was there's probably a clear top two that I feel good about that is number one and number two. But then after that, I think you can go any which way with it. But I do think the top two are pretty obvious. And then number three is very much up for debate. And then even through pretty much anywhere in the top 10, you can really debate. Any of those guys can be all the way up at number three. And then I had six right outside the top 10 that I was like, you know, you can probably convince me that they're a top 10 duo themselves.
I'm interested to hear. You said there's a clear cut two.
Two, yes.
I had three that in my mind, okay. I was kind of... So give me start off with number one, because even one, two is a little bit debatable, I think.
Yeah, I think one is Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes.
All right, that's the same one.
That's going to be difficult to unseat. Obviously, Andy Reid, with all he's done at two different stops now as a head coach, and then Patrick Mahomes, you know, best start to a career ever for a quarterback. So that's a difficult duo to really unseat at the top.
We had the same. And we did this separately, just so people know.
And then kind of at number two, I have Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, because LaFleur is kind of like the Mahomes in that scenario, where the best start ever to a career for a head coach, you know, 13 wins, three straight seasons. And Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP, obviously can't argue too much with him. You can argue who's going to be the best in the game this upcoming year, but Rodgers is going to be in that conversation. So I think those two firmly are one and two. But then number three is where I really struggled. I think I put three different guys here, or three different combinations here at one point in this process. And I landed on Tom Brady and Todd Bowles.
I'm going to go back to mine, because I flip-flopped them.
All right.
So I had in my mind, I think Sean McDermott has proven himself as the head coach in this league. Yeah. And I think Josh Allen has a chance to be the MVP of the league. Probably should have been last year in the championship game. If they host Cincinnati instead of Cincinnati at Kansas City, you think the Bills have a good chance. And then Aaron Rodgers and Matt LaFleur, I can't argue with it. When you said automatically too, I just had those two sort of in the same tier. So one, two, three in my mind were pretty good. Number four is where it got a little bit more difficult. I sort of deferred to the champs at that stage. I know not everybody here is a Matthew Stafford fan. I'm probably a little bit more of that because I was just there so much. I know what Cooper Kupp and what he meant, and Matthew Stafford, that work ethic, what Stafford brought to the organization of the team, the running of the game on the field, the ability to take Sean McVay's brain and bring it out there on the field instead of a young quarterback and what they had before. So I put that one as four, and I put Todd Bowles and Tom Brady as five.
Okay.
So where were you? Where were you with that? I bet you Stafford wasn't that automatic with you.
I had Stafford, McVay down at six.
Yeah.
And that was more carried by McVay, in my opinion.
I agree.
Stafford falls in somewhere the 8 to 10 range if I were ranking quarterbacks in the NFL. So I had Stafford McVay all the way down at six. Number three, I said I had Brady Bowles. I think Bowles got a bad rap for his time in New York. I thought he was a very good head coach there, just dealt the worst quarterback situation of really any head coach. You're just never going to win with that, quite obviously. And so then what he's done on the defense side of the ball with the Bucs is a big reason why they won the Super Bowl. So I think that's why I put them at three. And then at number four, this one may be a little off the wall. I went Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski. And obviously assuming Sean Watson, who hasn't played football.
I was wondering, I didn't even put them in my initial thing because I wasn't sure he's even going to play this
year. So that one, obviously I didn't even take that into account. But just on the football field, last time we saw Watson play, last time we saw Stefanski coach, that's, I mean, he was coach of the year back when Baker Mayfield was actually healthy and could play football. So, like, it's difficult.
Deshaun Watson was lighting it up.
Deshaun Watson was a top three grade quarterback per PFF. So, like, that's a difficult combo to really go too far against saying they are, you know, again.
You know what's amazing on this list is how many great coaches there are that you go, because of the quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, Bill Belichick, are we ready to put Mac Jones in? You know, they go to the playoffs, but they get blown out by the Bills. And but a lot of that was the defense, too. It wasn't pure Mac Jones, right? They could never stop Buffalo, whatever it was, seven straight touchdowns. Mike Tomlin hasn't had a losing season in 15 years of his career. Now he gets Kenny Pickett and or Mitch Trubisky to come in there and play quarterback. If he pulls another winning season out in this division, all power to him.
I mean, undoubtedly a top five head coach in the NFL, but top five head coach plus bottom five quarterback equals not top 10.
So that's not making this list. And so another guy that would be on my top five, six head coach is Kyle Shanahan. But are you ready to go? If they some reason go Jimmy Garoppolo, he might make it because I think so much of Kyle. But if it's Trey Lance, who really has played three football games in the last 2 years, three years?
Yeah.
You know,
since 2019. Yeah.
So, I mean, where are you willing to go with that? Mike Vrabel, I would argue, one of the best coaches in the league. Ryan Tannehill, the last time we saw him, he was going for psychological help at the end of the season after getting beat by the Bengals. You know, so if you had the take of that group of Belichick, Tomlin, Shanahan, or Vrabel with their respective quarterbacks, I assume I go Belichick there?
Yes. I went Belichick, Jones at seven. So my list, I had Watson, Stefanski, then Josh Allen, Sean McDermott at five, and then Matt Stafford, Sean McVay at six, Belichick, Mac Jones at seven is how my top seven then went. Because, I mean, Jones for a rookie was very good. Obviously struggled down the stretch. Worry about the limitations, whatever. But, I mean, he ran the greatest college offense of all time. I think the limitations could be a bit overblown, especially in the offense they run there in New England, to where this could still be an elite pairing. Like that, they could very easily... Mac Jones could take a next step this year with more talent around him to where seven even looks too low after this season.
Well, okay, so now I'm going to throw out some other ones on my ungraded list here, right? But I put them on there.
Okay.
I think that we have to include at this point, even though neither one of these guys are probably the top of the scale in their respective categories, but you put Frank Reich and Matt Ryan together – that's pretty good looking to me, right? I mean, they should have made the playoffs and get beat by Jacksonville at the end of the year last year, the Colts do. Now you bring Matt Ryan, who has been getting slaughtered behind that offensive line in Atlanta. You come to the running game of the Indianapolis Colts and that offensive line. That one feels pretty good to me going into this year.
Yes, that was one that I do think Matt Ryan is kind of on the decline as much as he did overcome a bad situation last year. I don't think you're ever going to see high end for like the 2016 Matt Ryan ever again to where he can compete with even the Staffords of the world, who, like I said, I didn't call a top eight quarterback for list purposes. But I think Matt Ryan's a clear tier below that. But Reich's in the conversation with a lot of the coaches that did get in the top 10 in terms of if you were tiering them, Reich would be in that tier, which I think was part of a fun part of this exercise was that I think it's much easier to clearly delineate, in my mind at least, between quarterbacks. You know, like I just said about Stafford and Matt Ryan. I'm like, yeah, Stafford's clearly better. Whereas Frank Reich versus Kevin Stefanski, Do you know if one's clearly better than the other as being a head coach or not? Like, it's difficult to say. It's like that one's difficult to say.
But for me, the tiebreaker is going to be that the Colts and the Titans are going to get Houston and Jacksonville four times, right? I mean, you got to factor it in. The fact that the Colts didn't make the playoffs last year was pretty unbelievable with the two softest AFC teams from a season ago. Yeah. Both being in their division.
Yeah, it really was. And it's why I think they do make the playoffs ultimately this year. But the other one, probably the two other very interesting head coach combos that I had were the Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert. Obviously, they're inextricably linked with their, you know, young coaches that they are with. And then also Trevor Lawrence with Doug Peterson was one that I considered, because Doug Peterson's won Super Bowl. I mean, like, no one's debating if he's a good head coach or not. Very good. And obviously Trevor Lawrence lives up to the hype, but like, where does he fall after 1 year that was pretty meh besides week 18? That was one where I'm not going to rank him in the top 10 now, because I do think there are 10 legit duos that are deserving. By the end of this year, we make this list again next year, as could be like, you know, Reed Mahomes, they could be replacing Roger LaFleur, you know, if everything works out. So,
and the other one, there's one glaring one, in my opinion, that we haven't talked about. You want to take a shot?
Lamar and John Harbaugh.
Yeah. So John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson. So they're 8-3 last year, and they lose the last six in a row after Lamar hurts his ankle and becomes a non-factor. But 8-3 to not making the playoffs, I think he's missed twice in 15 years or something like that, Harbaugh has. They change up on the defensive side. They bring in the coach from the University of Michigan, get rid of Wink Martindale, probably to take fewer chances on the back end. They were decimated on the defensive end. They have both of their Marlon Humphrey and Marcus Peters, both their cornerbacks were out. My question about that football team now is going to be not can they score points, but, you know, are they going to be able to generate a pass rush without Wink Martindale, who wanted to blitz and bring pressure? So now they got to count on guys that may not be pure edge rushers in the NFL.
And then the other kind of debate about that is Lamar's kind of headed the wrong way ever since the MVP season, you know, and injuries piling up, and what's he going to look like? And obviously I think he's still going to be dynamic athletically as a runner this upcoming season, but what does he look like when he doesn't have that threat of the run? Because his passing grade has gone from 82.5 his MVP season to 74.9 in 2022, 65.9 last year, legitimately bad the handful
and
of games
playing
prior to
receiver for that too. Hollywood Brown's gone now. Rashad Bateman is your number one. I mean,
Mark Andrews probably.
Well, Mark Andrews got to be number one, right? But so the tight end would step up front and center, and we still don't know, you know, what is Ronnie Stanley going to be back? Is he going to be healthy after, you know, looked like he was going to be one of the great tackles of all time? He's on a Anthony Munoz kind of pace there for a little while, and now nothing.
So after my top seven, I ended up going 8, Justin Herbert, Staley.
I was wondering where they were in that one too.
9, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh, and then 10, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor.
Brandon Staley is the most interesting, one of the most interesting coaching stories for me coming into this season. From the standpoint of, I think when you make correct analytical decisions, you don't get credit for it, right? You go for it on fourth down, you make it, nobody thinks about it. You go for it in the red zone, you score a touchdown, nobody makes a big deal out of it. You miss it, you don't get it, and you do it two or three games in a row, like you think back to the Kansas City game, some of those things, that all of a sudden now people are questioning. And I tell people all the time with this analytics stuff, you've got to understand that it's most of these decisions are 51-49 kind of decisions, which means you're going to be wrong 49 times out of 100. And I thought at the end of the year, he got dinged in the local market because a few of them went against him, right? The math didn't work out for him. So now does he change who he is, which is, I'm not going to think about it, I'm going to go by the numbers? And if he does that hurt this football team going into this season?
Listening to him talk, that wouldn't even cross my mind, the him changing. I don't think that's a possibility. Just the way he talks and presents himself to the media, at least, like hearing him talk about the analytics and why he goes with them, I don't think there's any changing his strategy. Now, football is like a small sample size. Even now with 17 games, it's still a very small sample size business. And so, like, the fact that obviously he lost some high-profile games, not because of fourth-down decisions, but with fourth-down decisions that came back to bite him, and that they didn't make the playoffs, he does get dinged. And a lot of media is saying that, but I do believe that his decision-making and basically the way he is running his football team is sound and will over time be a successful head coach in the NFL. But it is difficult to really push back too much on the people knocking him, because they had a top 5 or 6 quarterback in the NFL and didn't make the playoffs. And his side of the football, which was defense, which is where he came over from the LA Rams, stunk last year. Like, that was why they lost a lot of games last year, is because his side of the ball. And now injuries, whatnot, that is a big reason. But when you are, you know, that's why a lot of head coaches come in, like, who's the Bears head coach right now?
From the Colts.
Yeah. But you come in and you take care of your side of the ball personnel wise, so that you can go to the owner and say, I'm doing my thing. You know, like, I'm a defense head coach, I get my side of the ball taken care of. I think that's something that obviously they had an emphasis on this last season, but it is worth criticizing that. Why did the defense underperform when that was his side of the ball?
Yeah, it's a, this whole thing is, it's a really good exercise for me. I'm glad we got a chance to do this. So Todd Bowles and Tom Brady. So basically nothing really changes on this team. You know, I mean,
it might even get better, right? From all the reports about,
it's possible. And I mean, it's so hard to know when a superstar and a head coach don't get along. It's like, you know, there's almost an inevitability to this whole thing. But Byron Leftwich and Bruce Arians, in theory, had something to do with the offense. Todd Bowles handled the defense. Todd Bowles is very smart. He is of the guys that I talk to on a semi-regular basis, getting ready for games, and obviously we do a lot of the Bucs games. Todd Bowles is an impressive guy. And so it didn't surprise me. And I honestly give Bruce Arians a lot of credit. Some people are going to say he stepped down because of whatever, Tom Brady. I really think he goes back so far to his college days with Todd Bowles that he wanted Todd to have a year with Tom Brady before he left. And I just thought that it was a genuine act. Other people will argue something different. But I thought it was a genuine act of love and affection for Todd Bowles. And I think he's going to do a great job, especially when I go back to the Rams game where they got beat, you know, and he goes with the zero blitz and he gets beat by Cooper Kupp down the field for a long play. You know, he's loaded for bear anyway, but he's a blitz guy. I mean, that's who he is. That's where they are at the top. So Tomlin, do you think Tomlin overcomes? Can they do this with Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky?
No, I don't think so.
But he has.
Yeah.
I mean, Ben wasn't playing a whole lot better than that the last couple of years.
That is true. I do just think this is too much, one, quarterback-wise, being still that bad, and two, division-wise. You know, they've ran into they used to be able to count on four wins a year with the Bengals and the Browns, for better or worse. Like, for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years prior to just the last two. They count on those wins. This year, you can't. Like, they are underdogs in every single divisional game, right? Unless Deshaun Watson's out and suspended. So that, to me, is the bigger thing, is that they don't have the layups in the division anymore.
Think about the North right now. If Deshaun Watson doesn't play, and the more I'm reading between the lines on this one, I almost feel like the NFL is wanting to put it behind them and go, you're suspended for a year, right? Nobody would argue that that was too soft a punishment. And he's going to be going through the whole court thing anyway for another year, and settlements and new cases being brought on. I think that's at least a strong possibility. Then you had Pittsburgh with, you know, Pickett and Trubisky. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things in that division could have flipped. So is it possible that, I mean, I can't see Pittsburgh being much below 500. I can't believe that Cleveland, even with a backup quarterback, and maybe there still exists a world where Baker Mayfield plays this year there. I don't know.
That would actually be very
great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But I do just think even that 8-8 year going back, like a lot of smoke and mirrors. And again, that's good coaching. That is. But I do still think the NFL, they're going to have a difficult, especially where they're deficient. You know, you think about that roster. It is quarterback and it is cornerback. It is where you get passed on. And I get their D-line's good, but Stephon Tuitt just retired. He's not coming back this year. It has lost a little bit of the teeth from the last time, you know, when Big Ben got hurt, and they did still go 8-8. I do think this is the year where breaks the streak of 500 or better.
So Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill were the number one seed in the AFC last year. Mm-hmm. Let me say that one more time. They were the number one seed in the AFC last year, beating out Kansas City, who also had to come from behind to get the number two seed. But Tannehill now is in a really interesting position. Malik Willis comes in there as a third-round pick. He's no way he's going to be ready to go this year, I don't think. But there is a lot of pressure on that football team. Now, Derrick Henry is going to come back and be a part of it. But don't you get the feeling that Vrabel and Tannehill are kind of on that, all right, we get one more year to do this, and then something else is going to happen here?
I do. Yeah, I agree with that, because I think everyone is kind of just – and every year, and even just come playoff time, everyone's just like, okay, when does Tannehill become the Tannehill we saw for 7 years in Miami? You know, like everyone's kind of like, okay, when's it fall to earth? And now it's like, okay, you don't have A.J. Brown, no more Corey Davis, no more Julio Jones, your wide receiving core is decimated, your number one might be a rookie – or it might be, you know, Robert Woods coming off an ACL. So this way, everyone's just waiting for the fall, and it really hasn't happened. So to Ryan Tannehill's credit, but I do just think, like, if I'm really stacking up these quarterbacks, I'm not putting them in the top 10. I don't think I'm putting them in the top 12. Like, I think I'm taking Matt Ryan before I'm even taking Ryan Tannehill right now, just based off of precedent set over the course of their careers. So I think that's the bigger thing. Even though Mike Vrabel, like, if you're ranking head coaches in the NFL, I think there's a clear tier of top five, which is Belichick, Reed, Tomlin, Harbaugh, and McVay, whatever word you want them. No one, I think, is cracking that top five. But then there's that next tier of guys with like LaFleur, with Shanahan, that I think you'd put Vrabel in, honestly. It'd be hard not to, with how much he's had that kind of success. Exactly. So he's in that next tier, but it's just Tannehill to me. I've not put him in that tier. The probably the most intriguing name outside of the 10 that I listed as my top 10 with, I went then, as I said, Herbert Daly at 8, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh at 9, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor at 10, is Russell Wilson, Nathaniel Hackett. Because Russ is obviously top 10 QB. I mean, he's proven that. I think even after the thumb, whatever, you can expect him to come back and be a top 10 QB in the NFL. And Hackett, he made Blake Bortles look good. You know, Blake Bortles' best years came under Hackett. He made Aaron Rodgers look good, and obviously that's something that's LaFleur as well. But he has a good track record of offensive play calling. What's it going to look like in Denver? I don't know, but that is a duo that if we knew more about Hackett, I'd be willing to put in the top 10. You know?
I know quite a bit about Nathaniel Hackett. His dad recruited me at USC when I was all the way back in high school. So I've known him since he was a baby. You probably don't know about him. He used to teach hip hop in college. Mm. He's almost a stand-up comedian. He's a very, very entertaining hip guy, and was a really key component of building the bridge with that new offense, mm-hmm, with LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. And when those two were thinking about killing each other, you know, he was kind of one of those guys in, mm-hmm, between there. And with Russell Wilson, Russell's a different guy too.
It's putting it lightly.
He's more of a corporation than a football player. I mean, he's, you know, with the rock star wife and the private planes and the social media and all the different stuff. Like, you have to be willing to have allowances when you have Russell Wilson. And I'm guessing that Pete Carroll probably got worn down by some of that stuff over time. Even though Russell is a very upbeat, enthusiastic, rah-rah, calling in, working all the time kind of thing. I think Nathaniel Hackett is almost the perfect head coach for him. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't surprised when Wilson and Hackett got together, because I could see that combination really working. So I had them on my automatic top 10 list, even though most people wouldn't, because I don't think many people know Nathaniel Hackett to that extent. To get back to the Bengals here, I thought Zach Taylor showed a lot in the Super Bowl. He went for some tough fourth downs in that game. The first one didn't work out for him, and he gave up some points. But he came back later in the game when he was in field goal range and went for it. And I just thought that he has grown a lot. And Joe Burrow is such a dynamo. PFF had him as the number one quarterback last year, that people may want to think that was a fluke. And they're going to be in a battle, I think, with Baltimore this year to see who wins that division. But I think the Bengals are pretty close to a lock to make the playoffs again. I really do.
So where did you have them falling, or where would you have had Burrow?
I had them outside of my top five.
Okay.
But I probably would have put them in there in my 7-8.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of range. And Harbaugh and Lamar, that's an interesting one. But I just know how good that team was until Lamar got hurt. And then, even then the games were all close.
Well, until everyone got hurt. whole Ravens team got hurt.
They did. They didn't make it out of training camp with either starting running back.
Yeah.
And you start going back, okay, if, but for all that stuff. Sean McDermott to me is the other one that deserves a little conversation. I think everybody's going to have Josh Allen in their top three or four quarterbacks, in the league right now. But McDermott to me has proven that he is a hell of a head coach, maybe a better head coach even than defensive coordinator. And we know he did good things, but Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott, meeting of the minds with the defensive side of the ball, number one defense, arguably, in the NFL a season ago. And Josh Allen, one of those quarterbacks that can match points with Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid on the other side, and maybe even be better than that group going into the season.
Yeah, McDermott, even dating back to his days in Carolina, they had Kuechly in Carolina, but I think he's always kind of gotten more than the talent level. Like you said, arguably the best defense last year. How many real stars do they have on that defense? They have a very good safety tandem, but is anyone calling Micah Hyde, a star? Like, they have their linebackers are solid, but are they, elite players? They got Tre'Davious White's probably your household name on that defense.
But then he got hurt into this
so,
year.
Like, yeah. So there was not, not a lot of household names for what was, statistically probably the number one defense in the NFL.
Were you surprised that they went out and got Von Miller?
That was one of the biggest surprises to me. I thought they would play it kind of close to the vest in free agency, maybe, sign a nose tackle, just fill out that roster. Because they drafted so many defensive ends. They drafted Greg Rousseau. They drafted, Carlos Basham, AJ Epenesa, all recently. I did not expect them to. I thought they were just going to let those guys try to develop instead of really going out and make that splash. But I love it. I mean, and especially Von Miller with his history of, and his pass rush summit of wanting to develop young guys too. That's great for all those all those youngsters in that building too.
You know who we didn't talk about at all, which is kind of interesting? You want to take another guess? You got the first
I was going to say Dak Prescott, Mike McCarthy.
That's it. I had them written down as well. And I almost put them in as like an automatic because I think highly of Dak and I think highly of Mike. But and they were the number one offense in all of football last year. So it's kind of hard to look at it and go, why are they not on our top 10 list here?
Well,
because of what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. How it ended, right? I mean, the San Francisco thing kind of took a lot of steam out of that.
Yeah. Just that offense on the stretch. And also talent wise, outside of obviously Dak Prescott, they should have been the number one offense. You look at what they had at the receiver position along their offensive line. Yeah, they got banged up, but that was an uber talented offense to have some of the results they did, obviously down the stretch with Prescott, what was it, the calf that kind of hampered him. But still, I think Prescott, if you're ranking the quarterbacks, he's borderline top 10. Mike McCarthy, if you're ranking the head coaches, he's definitely not top 10, even with the Super Bowl. I lived through a lot of those years with the Packers to know that. So at that point, it's a tough ask. I don't know who I'd replace even in my top 12. I don't think I'd put him in even that range.
So here's the obvious question. You put Sean Payton in that same, he's the head coach now instead of Mike McCarthy. Where do they rank?
They'd probably leapfrog Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor for me. Because obviously I think Sean Payton would be, so I mentioned those top five earlier. I think Sean Payton would be in that tier of head coaches. I think he's that good.
It's kind of interesting. What if Sean Payton and Tom Brady had landed in Miami?
Man, they'd be one or two. I don't think you could unseat Mahomes, Andy Reid, but they'd probably unseat Aaron Rodgers, LaFleur on my list.
There you go. Well, that's our quarterback and head coach list for the 2022 season. You want to go down your list? You want to make it official here?
I was going to say Raiders fans probably going to be pissed at us.
I've got them down here too.
We didn't mention them. They realistically don't deserve to mention Josh McDaniels. His head coaching career was not the best up to date with what he did in Denver, but they could. I could see an argument for them towards if everything goes right this season. But so I went number one, Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid. Number two, Aaron Rodgers, Matt LaFleur. Number three, Tom Brady, Todd Bowles. Number four, Deshaun Watson, Kevin Stefanski. Five, Josh Allen, Sean McDermott. Six, Matt Stafford, Sean McVay. Seven, Mac Jones, Bill Belichick. Eight, Justin Herbert, Brandon Staley. Nine, Lamar Jackson, John Harbaugh. And 10, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor. Top 10 QB head coach combos.
I keep looking at this thing. I've got to go.
Here. Got
I'm doing some late reshuffling here. One, two, three. Make sure I got them all. All right. I have one is Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Okay. I have two, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen. I have three, Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers. Four, I've got McVay and Matthew Stafford. That's probably higher than you do. I do have five. Bowles and Brady. I have five. Six, I've got John Harbaugh. I think he's a great coach that got killed with injuries, and Lamar. Seven, I've got Zach Taylor and Joe Burrow. Eight, this is probably my pushing the envelope, but I think Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson are going to be a match. Nine, I've got Belichick and Mac Jones. I mean, obviously, because – and then 10, I'm putting Brandon Staley and Justin Herbert. I think Herbert is just fantastic. And if Staley sticks to his guns, and you've convinced me that he is going to stick to his guns, it's the toughest division. Obviously, anything can happen out of that division. But I think the biggest jump of any team this year is going to come from the Broncos. And I'll be really, really surprised if Hackett and Wilson don't put on a show. I don't know what their defense is going to be. That's my concern. But I do, you know, there's obviously a downgrade on the defensive side with the coaching change.
The interesting thing was, right, they went with a, I guess it would be a Fangio tree guy, right, from, what's his name, from the Rams that they took over, right? So they're probably keeping a lot of the same conceptually stuff defensively, but no one's going to be able to replicate what you did with Vic Fangio. I do think they probably take a step back on that side of the ball.
We shall see. Well, thank you. I don't even know if I introduced you at the beginning of the show. I don't need to. You're like world famous now. Mike Renner, appreciate the help. And this is going to be fun.
For sure.